brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Hey, welcome everybody to this sud segment where we'll stay almost 6 feet away from anything but a great beer. Hey, today we're actually going to have a bottle share. Let me introduce everybody here on our episode for today. Joining me here at the table is good old boy Dave.
Greetings, citizens. Marvel at the sight of my well-oiled, glistening masculinity.
Oh, please don't even begin to flex doing that.
Welcome to the gun show.
Wow. Yeah, I just saw a row of people in Kansas City go, please, just stop.
Stop it.
For sure. Joining me here at Radio Right is good old boy Kendall.
It's a pleasure to be here.
My name is Kendall. I'm a model. My favorite part of my body is my broad shoulders.
There it is again.
There we go. Yeah, maybe it isn't a pleasure to be here.
So we still refer you to he and him, correct?
I think so. Ooh. Let me check.
Yeah, if you've never picked up, the only qualified person that's sitting here is Kendall.
Yes.
The rest of us are just faking it. So, yeah, we're all hoping for the big rubber stamp someday.
We're sitting in his shadow.
Rubber something.
Not worthy. Hey, I'm good old boy Mike. I forgot to introduce myself.
That's okay.
And at radio left here is good old boy Drew.
Hello, how are you all today?
Oh, I love that voice.
He's got a face for radio.
Indeed. I've said it for years.
It's only $8.99 a minute. Go ahead. Thankfully, give me a credit card.
Wow. Thankfully, the face is behind the mask. No one cared who I was until I put it on.
And debating whether she's going to bolt out of the chair, it's good old gal Juliana.
You know, I have a voice, too.
Oh, yeah.
And some people like mine as well.
Tell me more.
Wow.
$2.99 a minute, babe.
So this episode degraded at what, Mark? 5 minutes and 20 seconds?
Oh, not that far.
Dude, it was 2 minutes and 48 seconds.
I just want to make sure I knew exactly.
Negative yes. 3 minutes.
Yeah. Hey, this is Subsudden and Smokes, where we talk about everything good in life that's worth discussing.
Allegedly.
And this is almost a one-hour episode that is mildly entertaining for about 27 minutes. So
27.
Hey, you know, I'm aspirational.
He's such an optimist.
Right. Like I mentioned earlier, on today's episode for this sud segment, it is a bottle share. So this is kind of the way we do it here, is that everybody brings in something that's in a brown paper bag, and we don't reveal what's going on until everybody actually has tasted or commented on it. So that's what we're going to do. Each host has brought something, and we'll be tasting and sharing our tasting notes and doing a big reveal after each one.
That's what she said.
But before we get started with the bottle share, this sud segment is brought to you by...
You're a grown-up, so now it's time to act and drink like one. You want whiskey, but without all that alcohol. In comes Whiskey AF, the alcohol-free whiskey experience, made from artisanal rainwater hand-collected by Aborigines, then barrel-aged to give the look of bourbon without the burn. Whiskey AF, it's not the real thing, it's better.
You know that's a real thing now, right?
I'm sure.
No, seriously. Oh. Like, they are making alcohol-free whiskey.
Well, there you go.
That's sacrilege.
It is, truly.
Next summer of questionable
decisions. That explains a whole section of Canada that I was just really wondering what's going on up there. You know, it's like, what do you do up there?
You know, when people say, do you know where your children are? You know, they're out drinking alcohol-free whiskey. That's what's going on.
Yeah, that's apparently a thing. Well, bottle shares, like everything else, must and will adapt to the new rules after COVID-19. There may as many bottles of hand sanitizer sitting around. Who wrote this?
There may be
as many bottles of hand sanitizer sitting around as there are bottles of beer, but we'll get by. Today, each host has a beer that they've been drinking lately or that they wanted to share with the rest of us. We're all wearing masks, and we're all about 6 feet away from each other. That's not far enough away from some people.
Wow.
We're still a bunch of friends, but we're really sharing a few beers.
I thought the script says beets, Mike.
It does. It does.
Beets, beers, Battlestar Galactica.
Listen, I've had about as many beers or beets when I wrote this as you have when you're reading.
I was looking forward to the beet share later.
I think he was doing some research with Bud Light Lime while he was typing.
I might have put 7 or 8 of those down before I wrote this.
You know, beets are a little earthy, but they're a good vegetable, right?
Oh, yeah, and there's so many colors, you know?
I love to roast them and put them on a salad.
They taste like rainbow. Sweet dirt.
Kendall, I will share beets with you any day.
Kumbaya to the both of you.
Do you like yellow ones or red ones?
Red ones.
You like the red ones.
Okay. I like the purple ones.
Purple.
I've never had a yellow.
Golden ones are really good, too.
Golden ones are really good.
I like golden beets.
Are they as sweet as the other beets?
Not quite as sweet.
Maybe that would be better.
We'll have to do a show on beets.
Butter and salt.
Just not put Dave in charge of writing the script.
Well, you know what?
Well, it's a pretty rare occasion that we've asked good old gal Juliana to read our Suds ratings for today.
Ooh, this is a rare treat.
Okay, look. I'm just doing it in my own dialect. We're going to be discussing and rating these beers with these Suds ratings plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. And forever, I'm a Pennsylvania girl. Number one, that sucks. Give me anything but a Bud.
Or a Keystone Light.
Okay. In its day, Keystone Light was
fine. Would it be
fine.
A tall boy?
Would be a tall boy. Number two, was that a belch?
Or an East Pennsylvania accent.
There's a difference there, buddy. There's a difference. Number three. Ah, what a relief.
We're not in PA.
You know what? You can just stay with the Tennessee girl, okay?
I think that's what you say every time you drive over to Jersey, out of Pennsylvania. Ah, we're at relief.
Wow. And he's talking about New Jersey.
Yeah, I was about to say. Okay. I never thought Pennsylvania was that bad.
Is that the good part of Jersey?
Is there one?
There is a good part. There is a good part of Jersey.
Well, we hope so.
It's that like 6 feet where you see you're leaving New Jersey.
Right. as you go into the Lincoln Tunnel?
Yeah.
Secaucus, right? Oh, excuse me. Secaucus.
Secaucus, New York.
Really? Really?
East Meadowlands?
Okay, can we? Come on, Jude. We need to keep going.
Number four. A body should really not make that sound.
Be a miracle if anybody has one of those today.
You know, people just don't understand, okay? They just don't. You Southerners just don't get it.
You Southerners.
Number five. Listen to that hang time. Give me another now.
Yes,
my aggressive Pennsylvania charm.
What Southerners? I'm from Michigan.
I was about to say.
I would like to point out that this Pennsylvania girl used barbecue as a word to describe a gathering and not a food. So.
Whoa! That's definitely going. You're going native now. Yeah, you know?
I know.
You know, should we just charge you income tax in Pennsylvania just to make you feel a little more at home? Is that what we should do?
Really?
Yeah.
Please don't be mad, Pennsylvania.
And get rid of the clothing tax then?
After 15 years and marrying a local, holy crap. I mean, you know, I don't know how more native you can go.
Yeah.
Okay, look.
Yeah, you married a local.
I was blindsided by the beer shirt. What can I say? And it was a crappy beer fest that.
I was extremely charming.
Well, thanks for reading our suds ratings for today and insulting some of the folks in the great state of Pennsylvania. So
and Jersey.
And Jersey.
Let's just roll in the whole Northeast.
Hey, Excuse you?
Let's get around to our beer share. We're going to start off with good old boy Kendall. We managed to pour some of the beers, you know, while we were kind of going through the intro. And
what's everybody think about it before he tells us?
So I was saying that Kendall is a session beer hound. He just loves session beers. I mean,
that's true.
He walks around with a 12 pack of Founders, you know, all day long.
All day IPA.
All day IPA. I can't even say it. And the what's the lager? The golden.
Just the
golden lager.
The golden lager.
Is that, lager is that what it's called? The golden lager. Yeah, that's what I thought it was called. It's, you know, I knew it had a really simple name to it.
Solid gold.
That's it. Solid gold. There solid
we
go. Gold.
There we go.
Thank you.
Ha ha.
It's good beer. I thought it was a session IPA. It was my best guess. I liked it. It was crushable.
Yeah.
I could drink good a lot bitterness. More of this.
I'm digging it. Yeah, it's good. That's one of the reasons I love this beer. Solid bitterness.
It's not complicated. Great hop profile.
Yeah.
It's fresh.
Very fresh.
I appreciate the pine in this. Thank you very much, pine. Kendall, because I don't mean to be mean. I enjoy a good New England IPA when I can, but I'm just getting a little sick of New England IPAs that are just OJ.
Sometimes you got to go west, you know, a little more west.
No, I like the pine trees in this. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Is it Sierra Nevada?
We'll write this after the break.
Yeah, and I'll tell you a lot more about it, but this is definitely from some friends.
Are we getting close? At all in our taste?
Yeah, you're mostly close.
Mostly close. Huh.
We said pine, so close.
So this is a local beer. I don't know if that helps you narrow it down. This was brewed and canned in Nashville, Tennessee. But definitely influenced by the West Coast styles.
Okay.
You were right, Mike. It is fresh. This beer was canned 3 days ago.
There you go.
Doesn't get much fresher.
Yeah, I went and picked it up when I heard they were doing a new canning run.
It's a pastry stout. I knew it.
Hey, we'll be right back just after this break. Thanks
so much.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf. Iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, welcome back to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. On today's episode, it is a bottle share that we're doing with a bunch of beers. And we were talking about the beer that Kendall's brought. And so far, we're like hazy and piney and fresh and
sessionable.
Yeah. And he said it's a local beer.
Local beer. What do you guys think? You want to throw up some fingers here? Where are we at?
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
I'm outnumbered.
We're going to call it and say it is a suds rating of 4
in the big reveal. So, let me tell you a little bit about this beer. One of the things Dave put out is like maybe bring a beer you've been drinking in the summer or in the COVID lockdowns. And this is a beer I've drank probably about 3 cases of since the middle of March.
Damn.
They did a fresh canning run in March. And so I drank a lot of that fresh beer.
Kendall, what have you been doing in the quarantine? I'll tell you right after I finish this
and
beer.
You know, there's a lot of breweries in Nashville. And I'm fans of all of them. I'm in 4 different mug clubs too. So this is one brewery. I'm in their mug club, and this is the one I tell people to check out. There's a lot of breweries in town that get a lot of love and a lot of press, but this is the one I go drink at more often than not. I love these people. They're great people, and they are from San Diego, which is gives you a little hint in why this West Coast IPA is so good. They know how to make a good West Coast IPA, folks. This is the New Heights.
Way to go, Jeff. Yeah, that is a good IPA.
Jeff is killing it out there.
But, Mike, you were wrong on the session. This is 6.9%.
Yeah. You know what? You could session that beer. I mean, it wouldn't last too long, but you know.
Yeah, could. But I love this on the bottom. Canned on, 624. It's 627. That beer is 3 days old.
That is beautiful.
And I've got more if you want some.
Well, this is a brewery that we have not covered on the show, mainly just so New Heights is it's in one of those categories of breweries. They don't distribute, outside of metropolitan Nashville, and great beers. And I've had a chance to brew with Jeff and some of the other staff there, and been on some of the blends that they've done there at New Heights. Have three barrels of beer that are sitting there. With some whiskey barrels that I've done some private picks of. Nice. I love Navel Gazer.
Yeah.
And I am such a fan of that barley wine.
They do different, interesting styles. I almost brought a
Navel Gazer today.
Yeah, one of the things I like about New Heights is everybody's got their own niche and is doing different things. They've got one of the broadest selections. They do some kettle sours. They do a great, just a great cream ale. And they did a dry hop cream ale this spring, which was unbelievable.
Their coffee cream ale.
Their Gobsmack barley wine, the Navel Gazer Imperial Stout. All the barrel aged varieties.
Plum just, sour.
Oh, the that was so good. They did a like a 3% Scotch ale back in the fall that I drank a ton of that.
That was a great beer.
They're just a great brewery.
Their community series. I think that's them, right? Like they did they had community a brown. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they did one or two more.
Goodest boy.
Yeah. So the brown ale was actually a result of a homebrew competition they did with the local distributor with Best Brands. And I was actually a judge at that. And that brown was really awesome. Yeah,
it's a really good beer.
That's probably one of the top three browns I've ever had. It was that good.
But yeah, I love those guys. I mean, I love all the breweries in town, but somehow I always keep ending up there just because they're a great group of people and they're making good beers.
That'll bring you in.
Well, before we move along, just a quick reminder, that was the IPA from New Heights Brewing in Nashville, Tennessee, and our suds rating for that was a 4. Well, we're going to move on to the beer that I brought today, and we have poured it around.
Smells kind of funky.
Just like Mike.
Wow. Get some big barrel notes, too.
Yeah. Good color on it.
Ooh, there's some honey on this?
Some kind of bourbon barrel-aged wild ale.
That would be my guess as well, yeah.
So, you've said barrel a couple of times now.
Almost a Saison out of a barrel. Or
Saison in a barrel. Huh, interesting.
I don't know.
Any other tasting notes? Do you like this? Do you hate it?
I do like it.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, you're right. Lots of honey, Juliana.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sweet on the front end, not on the back end.
Someone get their hands dries on out. A Bellmead honey barrel.
It's a little astringent on the back end.
Well, yeah, it kind of dries out on the at the very little, end.
Yeah.
Which just makes you want to take another sip.
Exactly. This isn't Fleur de Lis, is it?
No.
Okay. Just asking.
Wow.
Dramatic pause.
Good guess, though, I would say.
Well.
You know. But to Drew's point, I like the dry finish because it tastes good. You just want to keep cycling it back through, you know.
But you were right. You said astringent, but it's not like a bad astringency. No. It's almost like tannic from the oak or something.
Yeah. A really nice, like Sauvignon Blanc. You know, it just dries the palate, makes you want to keep going back to it, going back to it.
It's a very layered beer. I think it's fairly complex. There's a lot going on.
Some different, a little bit of fruit in there.
And different,
like apricot almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, different things, you know, kind of bringing different things to the party.
Dish flowers.
Both technique and ingredients.
Any flowers in here?
Flower?
No.
Really? Because
any Soylent Green?
I could see almost like a rose hips any or like a hibiscus green. Or something.
Are there people in this beer?
Are people? No.
Okay.
Well, people have their hand guesses. In this beer,
there's beer in the people.
Yeah, that's true. Is there beer in this beer?
There is definitely beer in this beer, for sure.
Well.
Any other guesses? Any other comments? Here, let's see what your rating's going to be for this. Wow. Our Suds rating for going to be a 5. Right. How about that? Did not intend for that to happen at all.
Can we get a clue as to where this is from?
It is...
What region?
From...
America?
America.
The state of South Carolina.
Mm. Westbrook?
No. Westbrook wouldn't do this, would they?
Carolina Barrel House?
So there was a funny story that we had about this. So last night...
No, really?
Oh, wow.
So last night, we...
Westbrook!
Wow.
Holy mother of
good
Chalupa.
Good on you, Westbrook.
Hey,
Westbrook.
They did a good job with this. Yeah.
So this is a Westbrook Belgian style triple.
I am shocked, dude.
2 years in a sherry barrel.
What?
This was bottled in 2017. So we normally don't date a lot of our episodes, but it's been about 3 years. Bottle condition on top of
so the sherry years. Is that where like those like little bit of fruit notes come from?
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
So I was.
And I was not too far off when I said Saison.
Oh, I didn't name the beer. It's called Juan.
Juan.
I think is how you spell it. J-A-U-N-E. Yeah. So
that barrel, man.
I'm probably mispronouncing that horribly, but...
Well, I don't even know. It's reminiscent of the French jeune, which would be young.
I know, but, yeah. I was close, probably faking my way through it. I ran across this beer. Never had it before. In fact, I'm tasting it all right along with you. And I was just so intrigued to have a beer that had been aged in a sherry barrel. I've had so many other things been finished in a sherry barrel.
You don't get that very often.
I've only had probably maybe one or two other beers that I can think of that were aged, and those were like really big.
Like a dark beer, probably.
I had a stout that was finished in a sherry barrel. I had a barley one that was finished in sherry. I like the barley wine sherry. That was a pretty potent.
Probably be a nice.
Well, they're both big flavors.
Yeah, the triple is just kind of throttling back. A lot of the hop profile and acidic elements. And when I saw this, I was like, that is either going to be really good or really suck. And there are so many of the other barrel-aged beers that I've had at Westbrook have just been really quite interesting. We're a huge fan of a lot of beers at Westbrook.
Yeah.
Absolutely make the reference standard Goza, for a U.S.-based Goza, for sure.
True.
And
Mexican...
Other Mexican cake.
Mexican cake is really good. A lot of people really go after these beers, and they've been expanding a lot of their distribution quite a bit. I've run into Westbrook now probably in, I don't know, I want to say about 15 different states, if I had to guess, some of their distribution footprints. So
they were doing some of the Evil Twin beers, too.
Yes, for a while, when Yeppe was...
He's still floating around,
And I believe it still do some Evil Twin beers, probably. But... I really just, when I read this description, I just kind of fell in love with it. So I'm glad you guys really loved
it. That's a really good beer to bring, dude. I mean, that's a bottle share beer.
Yeah, it falls in that category. This is not something I've been drinking a lot of, but it's a beer that I've been dying to share, especially straight up in a blind like this. So it was really cool. I'm glad I really enjoyed bringing it. I loved seeing all of your reaction around it, and it's really something quite unique that I know that we don't run across.
Kind of all the time. The tannic notes from the oak, like
those
at the
are
very
really
end.
Nice.
Yeah,
great beer. And I would tell any of the brewers that if you're considering maybe playing around with the sherry barrel, do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can see that this worked really well with the Belgian triple. I would say that sherry is going to work well with barley wine.
Or quad.
For sure. Or quad Belgian quad.
Yeah.
Or, Belgian strong period. I think would work really well in a sherry barrel. So I look forward to somebody else's spin on this.
I bet the stout you had that was in a sherry barrel was probably pretty good, too.
It was distracting. That's the thing I remember about that.
Kind of conflicted
a little bit. Yeah, I really did. It was almost kind of like fighting with it.
It's interesting.
Speaking of fighting... So I had a topic I wanted to bring up today.
Let's talk about Philadelphia.
Yeah, you bet. So it wasn't a fan. It was a fan that dropped me a note online. And they said, "Have you seen this?" And they dropped me this this link to this group in Philly. It was actually a ruling that they were going to cut back on people that were having dumpster pool parties.
Oh my!
In Philly, and I'm like, wait. I'm sorry. What did I just read there? I'm like, these people actually were creating pools in, you know, regular construction dumpsters, and they would order the dumpsters and they would, you know, put them out on the street, and they have, you know.
So it was a quote unquote clean dumpster.
Is there such
a thing?
They're
not really sanitizing them in between.
Well, but I mean, like, it wasn't like they pulled a bunch of trash bags
had to line it somehow to get the water in.
Yeah, they lined it, you know, and then they filled it. Get this, they actually just used the fire hydrants.
Yeah. Sure.
And that was the problem they had. Yeah, that was the big problem that the city had. It wasn't that they were having a pool party in the dumpster. It was that you were using city water. I'm like, wait, that was the problem that you had? I think,
well, if they pay for the dumpster.
And it is Philadelphia, after all. I mean, let's be honest.
I mean, if they're not setting it on fire, I mean, that's a step forward.
So I kept thinking, is this what Philadelphia Eagles fans do when there's no football? They have to go this path. You know, it's like, do they sit in there and go, "Fly, Eagles, fly"? Da, 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 da. I mean, do they play that theme song?
I'm just waiting for someone to figure out how to make a dumpster hot tub.
Dumpster hot tub.
I'm imagining they're probably listening to Kid Rock.
So this is how they get a jacuzzi going. Yeah. Yeah, Billy. So what we want you to do is go in the corner, and we want you to start farting. Yeah. And when I tap your nose, stop farting, okay?
So they're like, hey, I need three of you guys to put your blow torches right on the outside of the dumpster. Let's heat this water up.
So I asked our native Pennsylvania, you know.
Yeah.
I asked her, are these people from Jersey that are just coming over into Pennsylvania?
Okay, look. I'm a fan of Justin Myers. I'm a fan of what he did because he was thinking outside the box. Look, if you were social distancing...
Who's Justin Myers?
And they were definitely not social distancing in the dumpster.
I said there were at least 15, I saw the 10 pictures, or 15 people in the photo.
But you have nowhere to go, okay? There are a lot of row houses...
There's a lot of places to go other than a dumpster.
Apparently not.
What does it say if you're you know, first, but this but is my place to go?
Here's what dumpster. I will say as far as alternate pools go, okay? So I went to college at Belmont University in Nashville. My second or third year, like maybe it was my first senior year. I don't know. I had a couple of those. I was living in my last year in the dorm. Came home one Saturday night, and a couple guys and a girl had figured out a way, because we had the showers in a communal bathroom where it was a block wall, but there was an opening for the doorway, obviously. They had figured out they put some plywood in front of the door, and then covered up the drains, and then they filled it up with water, and then so the pressure of the water pushed the wood back against the wall. So it's
Belmont's
sealed
known
it.
For music majors. So obviously this was somebody they borrowed from Vandy, which is across the street. All of this engineering.
They
involved.
Have an engineering school.
Okay. Yeah, dude, we had some business majors. I mean, it's a three good practical idea. So there were two guys and a girl swimming around in the shower pool until somebody called, you know, it's a Baptist college, so somebody eventually called security, because there was a girl in the dorm in a swimsuit.
Yeah. That was the problem.
That was the problem.
It wasn't, not the water damage. Yeah.
And you were probably drinking beer.
Yeah.
No.
It wasn't bootlegging the water or destroying the shower or anything.
Or the old
they building. They had a scantily clad young lady in the dorm.
You can't have mixed bathing.
Yeah.
Similar story. I went to high school where we actually did that, except it was a military boarding school, and I won't mention the name of it because I'll say I don't want to take away from their storied
the
alumni.
The Lords of Discipline.
But we would actually do it as an effort in order to clean our dormitory. So we would flood the showers by taking garbage cans and blocking the drains.
Yeah.
We skipped the plywood because there was about a foot tall block to keep, you know, the water in. And then you would just push it all through the hallways and then slip and slide down the asbestos tile.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Wow.
Very good.
Now I know why it feels like that when I walk through that building. Literally, squishy. Wow. Well, listen, if you have an alternative pool story, we'd love to hear about it here at Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We might feature it on a follow-up to this story, but for now, I'm going to ask all you people in New Jersey, keep on swimming. So let's move along.
And Philadelphia, too.
Yeah, keep on dumpster diving.
Justin Myers, I think you're ingenious.
You should just enjoy blaming the people of Jersey.
Hey, does that redefine what dumpster diving means?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. And I used to hit the button there, Dave. There you go. Thank you. Let's move on along to another beer here from Drew.
Wow.
Drew!
Yep.
Well,
Drew, what you got?
I did not, listen to... I have been drinking things like this summer.
Here, just pass it. Pass your bottle. There you go.
But it is not what you would call a summer beer. Mainly, as we have been quarantining, I have been taking the time to try and clean out my beer cellar.
Oh, this smells nice. Mm.
Which is why I brought my beer, because it cleaned out under here out of my cellar.
And I also was running late, so I wasn't able to stop and buy what I was intending.
This is, no, there's no need to apologize for this.
This is nice. Mm.
So this was brewed and bottled in 2014. Any thoughts as to what the style is, anyone?
Belgian strong.
Barley wine.
Hmm. I think good old boy Kendall may be onto something there.
I didn't even look at the bottle.
Look at the bottle either. I don't even know what this is.
I can tell you it's big and it's malty, so it's probably a barley wine.
It's got to be a barley wine.
It's Evil Twins Freudian Slip.
Well,
at,
there you go.
10.3 ABV.
Oh, that's a barley wine.
Woo! Ooh, wow.
And again, was bottled in 2014 and cellared for 6 years now.
Mm. I think you did a good job. Well, we'll rate it when we come back, but I will tell you that this beer is...
It's big.
Big beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's but I like how time has worked with this, quite favorably. As with many barley wines.
Oh, they always get better.
They soften a little bit, absolutely. Because everything is big and boozy when you first brew it, and you got to soften it down.
Hey, we'll be right back in just 1 minute. Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Hey, welcome back to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. On today's episode, it is a bottle share, and we're going through a few beers. So far, we... got the reveal for the beer that good old boy Drew brought, which is the Evil Twin Freudian Slip. It's a barley wine that he's had aged in his cellar since
2014.
14. All right. So nice. Good 5-6 years, somewhere around there. Great beer. This is a great example of how time can be really kind to barley wines for sure.
And not just barley wines. I have taken a great pleasure in if it's above 10% ABV and I like it now, I'll usually buy a couple and put it back and try it 6 months, try it a year, try it 2 years, and just see what happens. It's a really enjoyable and an approachable way to enjoy beers that you love and see how they change.
So, you know, I'm a big fan of Bigfoot. You know, buy a six pack every year and set some aside. It's just barley wine's aged really nice.
Cellaring is kind of a crapshoot because even if they're big, they don't always get better. But chances are they will change in a way that at least makes it interesting to think about.
Well, I like how this has brought the sweetness and the caramel, you know, component forward in the taste profile. Usually barley wines are very abrasive, you know, when they're fresh. I mean, they're just like almost drinking battery acid.
Well, especially American barley wines because everybody wants to hop them more to make it, you know, like everything bigger, you know. And once a few years go by, that hop character kind of fades away. So you get back to the maltiness. And it becomes actually kind of more of an English barley wine in a way because you get back to where that maltiness is the key component. Hmm.
Juliana, what'd you think?
I really liked it. There's a little hop presence still, but it's soft and very approachable. I mean, it's got a lot of flavor, don't get me wrong, but really nice. And it's an interesting pick for it being the summer. You know what I mean? Like, we think of light beers and maybe even fruity beers. And we've had two light beers so far.
Yeah.
It's really interesting and it's cool that you bring a barley wine to the table. But it's still, like, I could see drinking this in the summer.
It's a good share beer.
Yeah.
It's certainly not something I would want to sit and crush at 2 o'clock in the afternoon sitting on the porch.
Really?
Depends on the day you've had.
True. Well, true. The state of the world, right?
But I mean, I wouldn't have 20 of them, but I can appreciate a really good barley wine. Thank you for bringing this.
Well, our suds rating here for the Evil Twin Freudian Slip from 2014 is going to be a 4. Thanks for bringing that, Drew. Great beer, dude. Man.
Yeah. This is nice.
Yep. Both two really interesting cellar grabs, you know, so far. Well, next up is Good Old Gal Juliana. She's passing her beer around.
I'm passing a can. Passing a
brown bag around.
Brown bag around.
Let's see, is this a. What region is this from?
It's from your region, Kendall. This is from Kendall's birthplace.
I've taken out too much there. It's a small can.
No, it's fine.
Oh, we've got extra.
It's fine.
Probably should have had this before the barley one.
It's fine. We didn't know. We didn't
very malty, a lot of pilsner.
They pulled it out of the bag, so now we know what it is.
Yeah, very malt forward.
Yeah, I do enjoy this beer.
Gosh.
And it's new. I mean, it's a pretty well, it's new to here anyways.
This is Bud Light Hazelnut.
Wow. You're a real jerk.
I know, really.
Yes. Yeah,
well, this is
really light. Easy.
This I get is not more amaretto than hazelnut. Thank you.
Amaretto. I like that. Yeah.
It's a session beer, but it's got a little hop presence. I mean, you know, it's a beer. You're not just drinking, you know, something watery and beer like.
It's definitely in that lawnmower beer category.
Oh, so it's sure.
Such a lawnmower beer. This is hanging 4 or 5 or more. I would be shocked.
This is the baby brother of an American classic. Is what it really is.
Yeah. It is.
See where it's going, but
it feels northern.
I'd say third coast.
Yeah.
Okay, look. This is only 3.7% ABV.
Wow.
Think about that.
That's amazing because it tastes like beer.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Like
I was going to say Florida Cracker.
No.
I mean, I get what you're going with that, Mike, because there is that component of it.
Yeah, Florida Cracker is a beer made by Cigar City, and that beer's a bit more astringent than this one.
That's a wit. This one is not.
Yeah,
this is more beer.
Pilsner.
This is a session.
This is a cool
IPA.
This is a Coors clone all day.
But even being a session IPA, it is at 3.7. That is. Sessionably.
That's session. Like a sub-session.
Yeah.
You know. So here's the thing. But this is summer. It is hot. At my workplace, I'm on call a lot. So I can't really have a lot of beer when I'm on call. I mean, I can't have any beer when I'm on call, but I'm on call so much that I really don't get to have any beer
Just does that make any sense? Carry some beers to work with her.
Yeah, right.
So,
but this is awesome to me because for as low ABV as it is, it still gives you flavor. It gives you hope, if you will. And I mean, it's from Michigan. What more can you love?
Ooh, you can't
Michigan
have
beer.
You can't have hope without hop.
Know what it is?
Well, they pulled it out of the bag, so I saw what it was.
Oh, I didn't see what.
Oh,
it is.
Oh, there you go.
Bell's, I love you.
The lighthearted ale.
I love you.
Here, let's rate this lighthearted beer before we get too far down the pike. Looks like it is our rating. It is so Bell's Lighthearted, and our Suds rating is going to be a 3.
3.7%.
But I love this.
They did a good job with it.
I don't think they've been making this very long, have they?
No, it just came out this year.
I haven't seen it in our market.
Yeah, this year it's new.
Yeah.
And I'm not, it's not that I'm like all pro low ABV beers. I mean, if you look at me, I'm a big, bold girl in many ways. So ABV has nothing to do with the price of cheese. However, this, to me, this packs a punch for as little ABV as it is. And it's approachable for so many people. It's widely available. And I just think it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a very uncharacteristic beer, I think, for Bell's, who, you know, we've covered a lot of Bell's beers here on the show.
Yeah.
Definitely huge. Well,
and Two Hearted.
Huge fans. You
know, is a classic.
Yeah, I love the can art on this. It does harken back to the Two Hearted label.
It does.
That is
got a little bit more vintagey feel, you know?
Yeah. The Lighthearted is a great name for it. They did a good job with this. Give it to Bell's. They took their time getting out a session IPA, but they did a good job with it.
And I think you have to admit, Two Hearted is one of the best IPAs.
It's one of my favorites.
It's iconic.
It's like iconic. Truly. That is like the standard for Centennial hops.
People throw that word around a lot, but it truly applies.
You know, if there's anybody that I'm taking them through BJCP, you know, competition, and I'm like, you don't know what Centennial is, have that beer, you know. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what Centennial should taste like, you know, all day long. But, you know, we love Oberon, and we have it quite regularly. It's really great. You know, we have access to a lot of great, you know, Bell's beers. So, thank you, Shay, who brought that beer to the market. Just a reminder, our Suds rating there for the Bell's Lighthearted is going to be a 3. Next up is good old boy Dave's beer.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
We just
everybody try it.
Everybody.
Try it, Tim, what you think.
It's almost like a pink characteristic to the color. It's interesting.
It's a very interesting looking beer for sure. Yeah. I don't know that
a little bit of bitterness. Like, very dry.
Like dirty dishwater kind of, you know.
Dry is a good word for it.
Strawberry blonde.
Yeah.
It's a weird color, but it tastes good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that weird dry finish. And it has, kind of a touch of malt kind of in the middle of it, you know. Feels like it's a head fake, like it's trying to be something that it's not.
Oh,
a head fake.
Yeah. I think, you know, actually,
it's a sports term.
Dave has not been good at hiding these beers, so I saw the label.
Yeah.
I know what it is, and you're right. It is a head fake.
Okay. Mm. I didn't see that.
Kendall, don't give away everything with your broad shoulders.
Like it's a light version of something.
It's also a Michigan beer.
It is another Michigan beer.
Michigan beer.
Go blue.
Yeah. Wow, two Michigan beers. Michigan,
go green and white. What are you talking about?
Did you guys coordinate that?
No, Michigan keeps sending all their daggum beers down here. So what are we supposed to do?
Drew, what do you think?
That outside of Kendall's the only decent export, right? I'm enjoying this. I think I like it a little bit better than the last one. Mainly
because
there's a little more there.
It's
there,
bigger, ABV. If you will. It's okay.
I find it to be crushable. I'm having difficulty putting my finger on. The color's throwing me off.
Gluten-free version of something, you know. I don't know. It tastes like a beer that somebody made, and they said, "I need to
extract
calories or add water to this or screw around with it in some way." That's kind of what this beer reminds me of. Is that it was a very iconic beer, and somebody said, "I want to screw with it," you know, something like that.
No, wow. I love it. I think it's got a lot of flavor, but it the finish is something that's going to, it's throwing you.
It's going to definitely, that dry finish is definitely tossing me off.
Well, you know, there's a style of beers, Mike.
Well,
there's a style of beers that came out of, you know, in the last year or so that some people love or some people like. And then some people
I hate brute
who are just
this is a brute
who
beer.
Are just too rigid to accept a new style of beer, you know, just too set in their way.
See, and that's why I think I like this, because I love this style. I think it's brilliant because I love a dry hoppy beer.
That's all
it's
I had not, to get. Was, so. This is totally a
brute beer. Not as dry as most. If this is truly a brute IPA, it's not nearly as dry as I would expect.
So where do you, I don't know so, that it's a so brute IPA, but it's definitely
a brute
beer.
What would you guys
beer.
Rate this beer without knowing what it is? Yeah, so we'll go a Sudge rating of 3.
How does he call that for his own beer? How did that work out?
Well, because there were more 3s than your one finger that you put up.
So
this is B43 from Old Nation.
Old Nation.
Out of, I think, Williamston, Michigan.
Now, this is the brute version of B43.
So this is the brute version of M43.
M43, I'm sorry.
So M43 is one of my favorite IPAs.
Great beer. It's a good beer. I love M43, and I've had quite a bit of it. And it's making the rounds. It's finally, they're distributing, they were having some of the surrounding states, so you could find it in Pennsylvania, you could find it.
So the first time I had it
in Chicago, I think,
was in Pennsylvania a couple years ago, when we went up to visit Juliana's family, and we got some M43, and it was like, dude, this is one of the best IPAs I've ever had. So then,
great hop profile.
Wandered into a Nashville beer shop a couple weeks ago, and now we're getting not only M43. But also B43, which is the brute version of M43.
So I think they kept the same hop profile that they had with the M43.
It tastes very similar.
I think they kept everything
and
except
I think
the
they
yeast.
Swapped the yeast out with with a brute-based yeast.
And I think they probably fermented it a little yeast. Different, maybe a little bit higher temp or something, you know.
I don't like this.
I would not. I'm looking at the can. It's 7% ABV.
It's like half of
not
what
M43 like
used to be.
3 grams of carbs for those of you that are watching your carbohydrate intake.
I watch my figure all day long. It's because it's
if you're a if you're a brute IPA purist, which I don't even know if there's been time enough for that to become a thing. It's not as dry.
No.
And it's not as champagne-y, as you guys have said.
Right.
That's true.
However, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Because those dry, champagne-y, brute IPAs, they're kind of on the extreme end.
Well, it's funny because I think probably one of the better brute IPAs is actually the one made by Jeff at New Heights.
Yes, that is so good. He does a good
one. I think that is actually a
I think
really
that one's
good,
really good.
I thought that one was very good.
I think Brute Willis from Sean at
Sean
East
was good as well.
I thought Sean did a great job.
In fact, it was second place in our brute IPA show that we did. But they're not the driest of all brute IPAs.
Yeah. Not a fan of this. I can't imagine me drinking, this of, saying, I love that. I want a full glass of that. But I just don't see myself, saying, you should try this, to somebody.
I would say you should try this because I've killed several cans of this summer already.
See,
I like this beer. Are.
I tend to look at brute IPAs similar to like I look at champagne. And, I evaluate it by, am I going to like this with some nice, a nice platter or roll?
I remember the brute show.
Mike was not happy.
I was not happy
about
the whole show.
Give me a dozen raw oysters and give me a brute champagne or a brute IPA. This doesn't quite match up to that for me.
Mm. Yeah. Well, just a quick reminder of our rating here for B43 from
Old Nation.
Is a
3.
Thanks for bringing that, Dave. Wow, what a great flight of beers, everybody. Great bottle share, Hey, if you enjoyed listening to our bottle share here, grab some friends. You know, this is a really great, fun thing to do. You don't have to have a crowd of, you know, 40, 50 people to have a great bottle share. It just maybe takes, just 5 or 6 good friends.
To stay some, far away from each other.
Imagination, and just tell them in advance, away. Do not bring any brewed beer.
Wow. Or Mike.
Hey, thanks for joining us here on this episode today. I hope you had a really great time. Hey, you can always find us exactly wherever you found us right today, as well as plenty of other places like radio, satellite, online at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Overcast is my site of the week here, and nearly any place that you can listen to a podcast. The easiest way to find a show is tap your wife and say, honey, I don't know how to get this podcast thing.
Or what I do.
Any of the chicks on your phone, Alexa, Siri, or Google, play podcast, Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
We love your feedback, and you can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com.
Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram every day at Sip, Suds, Smoke, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news.
Please take the time to rate this episode if you're listening online.
5 stars. Bye. Well, I want to thank several of our co-hosts for being here, except for Dave. You know, Kendall, I love your blog. I am wondering what you're going to say about this Brute IPA.
I really should do a Brute IPA post because I love it. I think it's a brilliant idea because I love dry, hoppy beers like Pilsners.
What's your blog?
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Thanks for being here. Good old boy Drew, thanks for joining us.
I can't say that I didn't enjoy it.
You freely chose to enjoy that Brute.
I did.
Good old gal Juliana, you sleep with the master who brought that beer. Yeah, good luck with that one. There's a whole free can in front of us. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. And Pennsylvania rocks, especially the east side.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying the difference between Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Good old boy Dave, thanks for being here.
I love you so much, Mike.
And I love you too, Dave. Hey, it's good old boy Mike. Come back, join us for another exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, and I will ask you to keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.